can't even calculate the extent of my good fortune by being in the association of all you great sadhus. I'm very much blessed by your association. Thank you for being here and blessing me. So today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, the birth of Emperor Parikshit, text number 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Esha Loke Vikyata Parikshit Iti Yat Prabhu Purvam Drishtam Anudhyayam Parikshita Nareshu Iha Sa Esha Loke Vikyata Pariksha Dityat Prabhu Purvam Drishtam Madhutyayan Pariksheta Nareshviha Sa Esha Loke Vikyata Pariksha Dityat Prabhu Purvam Drishtam Madhutyayan Parikshita Naresh Viha. Loke Vikyata Parikshit Iti Yat Prabhu Purvam Drishtam Manujayan Parikshita Naresh Viha Saisha Loke Vikyata Parikshit Iti Yat Prabhu Jayan Parikshita Parikshita Saisha Loke Vikyata Parikshit Iti Yat Prabhu Purvam Drishtam Manujayan Parikshita Naresh Viha. Ladies, Sa Esha Loke Vikyata Parikshadati Yat Prabhu Purvam Drishtam Manujayam Parikshita Naresh Viha. Sa Esha Loke Vikyata Parikshidati Yat Prabhu Purvam Drishtam Manujayan Parikshita Naresh Viha. Sa He Esha in this Loke world Vikyata famous Parikshit one who examines Iti, thus, yet, what, Prabhu, O my King, Purvam, before, Drishtam, seen, Anudhyayan, constantly contemplating, Parikshita, shall examine, Nareshu, unto every man, Iha, here. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So his son would become famous in the world as Parikshit, examiner, because he would come to examine all human beings in his search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus he would come to constantly contemplate him. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit, fortunate as he was, got the impression of the Lord even in the womb of his mother, and thus his contemplation on the Lord was constantly with him. Once the impression of the transcendental form of the Lord is fixed in one's mind, one can never forget him in any circumstance. Child Parikshit, after coming out of the womb, was in the habit of examining everyone to see whether he was the same personality whom he first saw in the womb. But no one could be equal to or more attractive than the Lord, and therefore he never accepted anyone. But the Lord was constantly with him by such examination, and thus Maharaj Parikshit was always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord by remembrance. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord like Maharaj Parikshit. One may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of his mother, but even if he is not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. There is a practical example in my personal life in this connection. My father was a pure devotee of the Lord. And when I was only 4 or 5 years old, my father gave me a couple of forms of Radha and Krishna. In a playful manner, I used to worship these deities along with my sister, and I used to imitate the performances of a neighboring temple of Radha Govinda. By constantly visiting this neighboring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I developed a natural affinity for the Lord. My father used to observe all the ceremonies befitting my position. Later on, these activities were suspended due to my association in the schools and colleges, and I became completely out of practice. But in my youthful days, when I met my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, again I revived my old habit. And the same playful deities became my worshipful deities in proper regulation. This was followed up until I left the family connection, and I am pleased that my generous father gave me the first impression, which was developed later into regulative devotional service by His Divine Grace. Maharaj Prahlad also advised that such impressions of a godly relation must be impregnated from the beginning of childhood, otherwise one may miss the opportunity of the human form of life, which is very valuable, although it is temporary like others. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Yagate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. So Parikshit Maharaj was the examiner. He was always looking, where is that Krishna? Where is that Krishna? Where is that Krishna? We have to learn how to be like that. Always looking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? We have to have that intensity. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam shamayi pashati tashaham na pranashami satchamena pranashati. Bhagavad Gita 6:30. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So how do we do that? How do we see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna? That's called Shastra Chakshus. It's like some of you have glasses on, you see, corrective lenses, so you can see properly. So this is our glasses, the Shastras are glasses. We have blurry vision, you see, conditioned vision. When you put on the glasses of Shastra and you see through the Shastra, you see, then you can learn how to see Krishna everywhere. I remember we had the interesting part of ISKCON's history was the road show. Tishajan Swami, and there was a traveling rock opera. The universities used to pay us, they would pay $1,000 just to put on our rock opera on the campus. And we'd have kirtan. And Prabhupada attended our concert in Pittsburgh. In those days, devotees didn't applaud. That's only what karmis do, no? But there was one person in the audience who applauded after every song, and that was Prabhupada. I remember there was a song we did. It was a very nice song. O Govinda within my heart, celestial herdsman, lotus eyed one. So I remember we were rehearsing for that rock opera. We were up at New Vrindavan. There's a farm called Madhuban on the top of the hill. There was a house there and a big cornfield. So we were rehearsing our rock opera out there. And we ran the extension cord through the cornfield from the farmhouse out on the edge of the mountain overlooking the valley. I remember Vishnujan Swami was standing there singing that song. The rolling rivers flow forth from your veins. And we could see the river down in the valley. It was so powerful, you see. It was really amazing. So we have to learn how to see Krishna is everywhere. The Bhagavad Gita is giving us so many ways to connect with Krishna. I'm the taste of the water. You see? The first lecture I heard from Prabhupada was up in San Francisco, Ratha Yatra, 71. It was a huge, about 300 devotees and 3,000 hippies were there. Prabhupada said, "You have all seen God." Because Krishna says, "I am the light of the sun and the moon." He says, "I am the taste of the water." And then he told us this. He says, every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately you become Krishna conscious. So there's so many ways we can experience Krishna. It's just a matter of mental discipline, really. It's a matter of hearing the Shastra, meeting the Shastra, and training ourselves how to see Krishna within everything, everything within Krishna. You know, Krishna really wants us back in his abode. You know, he's really missing us. We're actually his intimate associates in his transcendental pastimes. But we made this mistake of trying to enjoy separately from him. But actually, Krishna is doing everything from his side possible to get us back to him as soon as possible. He's not forcing us, but from his side, he's doing everything he can to induce us. So we have to actually learn to see that. That actually, every minute, Krishna is acting. Every experience we go through is ultimately arranged by Krishna. Everything. 24/7, everything is being orchestrated by Krishna to try to induce us to come back to him. So we have to learn to see how that loving hand of Krishna is reaching out and blessing us at every step. This will help us. I know I have a personal instruction from Prabhupada in this connection. He told me, he wrote me a letter on December 18th, 1972. He said, "Now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face." People always ask me, "Well, how are you doing?" I say, "Well, not there yet." Not there yet. I'm working on it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I know it's coming someday. Someday I'll be able to carry out the order of Prabhupada game and be able to see Krishna. So how do you actually do that? It's actually, Lord Brahma explains to us how to do that. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hidayeshu valokayanti yangshama shundarama chanyaganasvarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged by the salve of love. Aha! That premanjana is the key. Just got to get that salve of love and anoint our eyes with it. It's interesting, the Sanskrit word is anjana, and in English there's another word for ointment, ungament. And for our scholars, an interesting thing, ungament and anjana. So anyway, this premanjana, we have to get some of that premanjana. So where do you get it? Where do you normally get drugs? You go to a pharmacy, right? You get some drugs. What was Prabhupada's business before he started ISKCON? He was a pharmacist. Prayag Pharmacy. Well, he simply opened another pharmacy. It's called the ISKCON Pharmacy, but there's only one medicine. It's premanjana. You see, the ISKCON Pharmacy. Premanjana. The Prabhupada is dispensing the ointment of love of God. These Bhaktivedanta purports, the kirtan, the prasadam, the deities, everything he's given us is to anoint our eyes with love of God. So we can actually experience Krishna directly everywhere, in all times, places, and circumstances. We really have to model ourselves after Parikshit Maharaj. He's an ideal Vaishnava. He's an Acharya. He's always looking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna, you see? We have to see how Krishna is acting in every situation to bless us and bring us. Even the difficulties, you see. Even the difficulties are the greatest blessing. Actually, I remember my god-sister, Himavati. She went, remembering Kunti Devi's praying for difficulties, she told Prabhupada she was praying for difficulties, and Prabhupada said, "Very good." He said, "We should always be praying for difficulties," he told her. And I realized this, if you're always praying for difficulties, there is no difficulty. You know, I'm begging Krishna, please give me difficulties so I'll always understand I have no shelter but you. Please give me difficulties. Please give me difficulties. Keep me constantly in a difficult position so I understand I have nothing to do to take complete shelter of you. If one is in that mood of always begging for difficulties, then they're not really difficulties. Another blessing, another blessing, another blessing, another blessing, another blessing at every minute, you see. So Krishna consciousness is really amazing. If you start going deeper and deeper into it, it's just like unbelievable nectar in there. The deeper you go, the sweeter it gets. And the sweeter it gets, it becomes more attractive also. You see, the more you're attracted to Krishna, the more you can attract people to Krishna. Actually, our mission is to attract the whole world to Krishna. So we have to learn the art of being unlimitedly attracted to Krishna ourselves, because to the extent that we are attracted to Krishna, we can attract others to Krishna. Here's an example from Prabhupada's purports. This is really an amazing one. When I think about this purport, I can know how bad my chanting is, how rotten my chanting actually is. Prabhupada says this. He says, when a devotee of the Lord can chant the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru, and under his influence, the whole world takes up chanting Hare Krishna. Wow. So I know my chanting's pretty bad. But that's the potency. If we even one of us can become absolutely, totally pure, that one devotee can inspire the whole world to become Krishna conscious. That's what Prabhupada is saying. So that's something to aspire for when we chant our rounds, when we take the darshan of the deities, you see. We can be begging for pure devotional service. We have a special prayer for that. You know that prayer? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, please bless me with pure devotional service. Please, Krishna, bless me. Please, Radharani, please, Krishna. Please, Rukmini, please, Dvarkadish. Please, bless me with pure bhakti. Please, 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 you see. Intensely begging, 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 begging. That's the mood. Prabhupada said he was an insignificant beggar. So what is our position? We have to become beggars, you see? Beggars for the mercy of Prabhupada, the mercy of our spiritual masters, the mercy of the Vaishnavas. I was reading the Nectar Devotion yesterday, or day before, and I read one passage I had not remembered from my previous readings. It was really amazing. Of course, every day we, you know, vanchakopadarubhyascha, we do that every day. We offer our respectful obeisances to the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada said that diminishes the resultant reactions of our previous sinful activities. But then Prabhupada also said, by meditating on the Vaishnavas, you see, not only offering obeisances, you can meditate on the Vaishnavas also, and that will diminish the reactions from your previous sinful activities. That means I can remember my wonderful godbrothers like Savas Prabhu or Amalabhata Maharaj. Just by remembering them, I become free of sin. It's pretty amazing, this process. Pretty amazing process. The more you get into it, the more it becomes amazing. Simply wonderful. Because we all know that Simply Wonderful story. I think everybody knows that one. Nanda Kishore, our godbrother, said, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give somebody a Simply Wonderful on the street? Prabhupada said, he will take that wonderful sweet, he will come to your temple, and he will become Simply Wonderful. And Prabhupada said, your Krishna is Simply Wonderful, this process is Simply Wonderful, and you all are Simply Wonderful. And then one devotee said, Prabhupada is Simply Wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, have kirtan. So this process is Simply Wonderful, and you are all Simply Wonderful. So the more we can meditate on the Simply Wonderful process, the Simply Wonderful spiritual masters, the Simply Wonderful founder acharya, the Simply Wonderful sannyasis, the Simply Wonderful senior devotees, the Simply Wonderful all the devotees, Simply Wonderful, the more we can appreciate and love the devotees, that is how our Krishna consciousness becomes more and more awakened. In fact, you have to become a devotee of the devotees. We all know that verse from the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakti jana parata, na me bhakti stite janaha, mad bhaktanam chi ye bhaktas te me bhakti tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. I remember when I was a new devotee in Austin there, Vishnujana had recruited us over there, a bunch of us hippies became happies by his wonderful kirtan. Prabhupada, anybody who hears his singing will become a devotee. So we were captured by his beautiful singing, Vishnujana Swami. So anyway, I remember one day the temple president came down from Dallas and he said, it's Maya to love devotees. You can only love Krishna. I was going, what? That didn't make sense. But I was just, he was a Brahmin. I couldn't say anything, right? So that doubt was in my head for like, and then I remember like, maybe 2 or 3 years later, a new book came out called the Upadeshamrita. And what did that book talk about? The loving exchanges between the Vaishnavas. I knew I was right. You are supposed to love the devotees. So this is a great opportunity. We have so many devotees in our movement. We have to learn how to love every devotee, actually. We have to learn how to love every Vaishnava, and not only every Vaishnava. We have a Vaishnava, Prabhupada explains, he relates to everyone. It's like a father relates to his children. A Vaishnava loves everybody. He has love for all living beings. It's like a father for the sons and daughters. So in this way, we have an amazing process of Krishna consciousness. And in this way, we always remember this wonderful example of Parikshit Maharaj and always try to go deeper and deeper into experiencing Krishna. That day will come. As Prabhupada told me, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them, or challenges, debates, whatever. My hearing isn't very good. Someone may have to repeat what he's saying. Why don't you come up here? All right, I got two hands. All right. Yes, Prabhu. There's three hands, okay.
So, Prabhu, you just mentioned that a very nice statement that just by remembering the devotees, one can diminishes the
sinful reactions. Yeah,
that's very wonderful.
Isn't it right there in the nectar devotion?
Beautiful. So we have many devotees wherever we go, each temple we go. Unfortunately, sometimes because due to our neophyte vision, we don't have the right adhikar. So we might see those things that actually we don't like, and we remember those things instead of the good things.
What's your question?
So the question will be, what should I do for that?
Okay.
So Sachin was saying that you were saying that just by remembering the Vaishnavas, you're purified of sinful activities. He's saying that what if you just focus on their bad qualities? Are you still purified of your
A Vaishnava means one who likes to see the faults of himself and the glories of others. That's a Vaishnava. Even though everybody has a combination of good qualities, and at least especially among us neophytes, we all have our good qualities and our bad qualities, our combination. But a devotee of the Lord is one who wants to see the glories of others and see the faults of himself. So we have to train ourselves in that way. I mean, I can think about my 50 years in ISKCON, and I can think of some really heavy duty, you could say, bad experiences I had sometimes with different God brothers. But I don't take those very seriously. I like to remember the good side. You see? I mean, I've been through some heavy hell when it's come. I think we all have, maybe. Different times, same things, really strange things happen to us. But the thing is, you don't take those things seriously. You have to see the good side of it. Because actually, Krishna is acting in every situation. So one has to train oneself to always see the good qualities of the Vaishnavas and the bad qualities of oneself, and then you'll be in good position to make steady advancement back to home, back to Krishna.
So Shri Gurudev, to answer his question, do you still get the same benefit if you think they're in a bad way?
If you have negative thoughts about devotees, then you're getting that's aparad, Vaishnava aparad. It's a very bad thing. You're continuing your entanglement in the material nature. Vaishnava aparad, even in the mind, is going to hold you back, and can lead you leaving the movement eventually, giving up Krishna consciousness completely. Because Krishna says you have to be devoted to my devotees. If you're finding fault with them, that jerk, that no good jerk. You see, then you may end up leaving Krishna consciousness. We've seen many people come and go because they have offensive attitudes. They leave. It's sad, but I have dear God brothers who are long gone because they develop offensive attitudes. If you have an offensive attitude, kick it out with boo. You're just killing yourself by an offensive attitude. Yeah. Yeah. Next.
Hare Prabhu, thank you. You were saying in the early part of your class how Krishna, from his part, was doing everything he could to get us back to Godhead. You know, he's trying to induce everybody. So were you referring just to devotees, or were you referring to every living entity? And if you were referring to every living entity, if that's what's going on with every living entity, how can we understand a lot of the horrible things that are happening out in the world that don't seem to be like, you know, signs of Krishna trying to induce people back to Godhead?
So Bhagavani Prabhu is saying that you're saying that Krishna is making every attempt to try to bring us back to him. So he's saying that does that just pertain to devotees, or is that all?
No, every jiva, Krishna wants every jiva soul back. So everything is being orchestrated ultimately to attract them to come back to him. Everything, ultimately, to satisfy their desire to enjoy independently, but also teach them that that's not a very cool position to be in. Krishna wants everyone back. He has unlimited compassion for every single jiva soul. Every jiva soul is unlimitedly dear to Krishna. Every jiva soul offers a specific type of relationship that only that jiva soul can have with Krishna. Just like a feast with a million preps. Every prep is different. Every prep has its own taste. So we're the feast, and Krishna is the feaster. He wants to feast on these loving relationships with each one of us. Each one of us has a different flavor. Krishna wants to realize each and every one of us. Next.
The second part of that question, okay. Gurudev, was that if that's so, then how do we reconcile all the horrible things that are happening to people?
If something horrible happens, they're burning off the reactions from their previous sin. They're getting freed from their karma. Isn't it? As you sow, so shall you reap. They're reaping the result of their sinful activities and getting free from that reaction. It's over, finished.
So on some level, it's an education. I mean, it's not just...
So we're saying that process, it's like a reformative process.
Krishna ultimately wants to reform everyone. On the one hand, he's facilitating their desires to enjoy separately. On the other hand, he's teaching him it's wrong. It's a mistake. Isn't it? It's a big mistake to try to enjoy separately from Krishna. So he's giving us enough rope to hang ourselves, at the same time giving us enough hell if we become a little intelligent, we realize, what am I doing in this damn nasty place trying to enjoy? This is ridiculous.
Would it be correct to understand that it's a multiple life process then? Or, because it doesn't seem like some living entities get it in this lifetime.
You're saying in that case, could we see it as being a multiple lifetime program to gradually...
If we're smart, we'll make it a one lifetime program. If we're smart, we'll lay aside all other considerations and fully give ourselves to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, let me kick out all other desires to enjoy separate of you. Let me fully give myself to you right now, unconditionally. Now I belong to you. As Papa said, I'm your puppet. You make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. That, if we're intelligent, we'll embrace that mood tightly and hold on to it and never let go of it. If we have any intelligence, any brains at all, that's what we're going to do. Isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. It just seems like not many people are in that category. I mean, even among devotees, that's a sort of a rare personality. What to speak of, people who are outside the association, the devotees, they wouldn't have a clue what that was. It seems like for them it's many, 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 many lifetimes of...
Even for devotees, it seems incredibly rare to come to that point. What to speak of?
Yeah, it is rare. It's very rare. So, but it is attainable. That position of prema bhakti is attainable. The steps are there of Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, Nishta. The stages are there. We just had to work our way through the stages. the stage where most of us are at now, I know where I'm at, is in Artinavritti. You see, we've gotten to the point of, we've gotten initiated, that's Bhajana Kriya. Now we're working it out in Bhajana Kriya. I mean, in Artinavritti. That's where you really got to roll up your sleeves and get to work, the Artinavritti stage. That's a heavy, heavy stage. It can take decades, even lifetimes, to get through that stage. Prabhupada says nishtha means you're 75% pure. At that point, Prabhupada says after nishtha becomes practically an automatic process. It's not a struggle anymore. But up to the Artinavritti, we got to struggle, 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 you see. But finally you get to nishtha, it's like a downhill ride after that. So let's get at least a nishtha, you see. Get through this Artinavritti, and then it'll become easy and automatic after that. But if we can at least focus on getting the nishtha, being solidly fixed with all those anarthas, finished. No more lust, no more anger, no more greed, no more madness, illusion, envy, laziness, or craziness. As Jamunacharya, when he became lusty, he'd spit at the thought. We have to learn to become to spit at all these damn nonsense anarthas that keep trying to take over our hearts.
Thank you.
Okay, Prabhu.
You know, you brought up the point that Krishna says he's a taste of water. So how is it that Krishna is a taste of water?
So he's saying that you made the point that Krishna mentions that he's the taste of water. He's asking, how is Krishna the taste of water?
I'm not so sure, but let me give it a try. Yeah, it's pretty sublime. Krishna is certainly within every water molecule, isn't he? Every Krishna is all pervading, so he's certainly in the cup of water. There's no doubt he's in the cup of water. But the thing is, if you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then you can actually experience Krishna when you drink the water. It's a matter of remembering it, you see. Krishna smaranam. So I know I don't do it enough. I don't remember Krishna. So many times I drink water without remembering Krishna's the taste of the water. But Prabhupada advised me, every time you drink water, remember Krishna is the taste of the water, and then immediately become Krishna conscious. So we just got to practice it. Prabhupada then he said, Krishna consciousness simply requires practice. We have to train ourselves how to practice these things every minute in every situation in all times, places, and circumstances. We have to rise beyond the mode of passion and come to the mode of goodness. You see? Always connecting with Krishna, meditating on Krishna. We can engage passionately in activities, but we have to have within a sattvic vision. Very important then. Next. Finished? Okay. There at the curtain, that's the sign, I guess I'm finished. So we love you all. We're so happy to be here. It's a great blessing. I travel all over the world, and I rarely see God brothers anymore. I mean, I come here, it's like unbelievable nectar to come here. It's very rare I see God brothers when I'm traveling and preaching all over the world. There's Prabhupada disciples are far and few between, and I come here, it's like, wow. So thank you for being here. I'm so inspired by your wonderful preaching here. Just keep it going. Let's take over the world for Prabhupada as soon as possible. Ki jai. Thank you.
Wow, Gurudev, I have to say that was probably the best class I've ever given.
Yeah, I try to make every class the best one I ever give.
That one definitely took the cake, for sure. So, are we capable? He's asking if we're capable of crank economies even in the New York stage.
Hemavati was a new devotee. She wasn't. Hemavati Devi Dasi may be a devotee for 4 or 5 years. How long have you been a devotee? How many years? Hemavati had only about devotee maybe 3 or 4 years, and she was top at him. Encouraged her to pray for calamity. So you can do it. You look it up, Hemavati, in the Vedavas. The Papa told her. The Prabhupada said we should always pray for calamities.
But what if you're not ready? Actually, give us some message.
Huh? The thing is, if you're praying for them, you'll be able to handle them. If you're not praying for them, you won't be able to handle them. If you pray for them, you can handle them easily. If you always pray to be in calamities, you'll be able to handle them because you see, Krishna, Krishna. Because you'll feel Krishna's presence. And you'll hear Krishna will help you in every calamity.